Hey, this is Rob Unspach, and welcome back to another edition of eHeroes. Now, I know a lot of you guys out there constantly hear the word scaling, and I hear it too. But how do you scale effectively, and how do you know when it's right to scale, and when do you step away from the business? So I brought on an awesome expert at this whole scaling thing. Her name's Mandy Ellison. And thank you, Mandy, for being here. And I think this is going to be wonderful.
Thank you so much for having me, Rob.
Now, you are kind of that person that's hands off everything, right?
Well, I'm hands off a lot of things, and I'm very hands on in other things. So being hands off from a lot of the day-to-day things that I'm not good at, things that I can install other experts who are better at. Those are the pieces I'm hands off in. I'm very hands on as a mother, for example. I'm very hands on with that. I'm very hands on with with our marketing, and at this point, our sales. I'm very hands on with specific pieces in our business. And I think that's the nice thing about becoming a hands off CEO. That's actually my business, hands off CEO. And it's that you can really choose that level of hands-off growth that you want that really fits for the way you want to run your business, your goals, your lifestyle, but also the stage you are at in your life. Because if you have a 20-year business earlier on in it, you might want to be a little more hands-on. But towards the end of it, as you're getting to retirement, you might want to be very hands-off to the point where you could have it completely running without you, and you just be more of a board member, or you could actually even sell it if you want. So I think that's just kind of going off on what you were saying about being hands off.
You know, 25 years ago, I guess it's a little longer than that now. You know, when I had my first business, I ran into a gentleman and I said, "Aren't you the CEO of the company?" He goes, "Yeah, but you don't make the decisions." He goes, "No." He says, I kind of step back and I'm just now the salesperson. Although I own the business, I just wanted to do sales. So I hired someone to be the CEO. Like, and at first I thought that was the craziest thing. But, you know, I've now been this entrepreneur for 27 years. And I'm thinking, you know, maybe that was the best thing for him to do.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that it's just getting into understanding what are the areas of your strengths, where do you want to live at, and really be making an action plan towards what is it going to look like to create my business so that I can really just be playing all day long.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and I know a lot of people go off and golf every single day, and I'm thinking, how do you even run a business? And, you know.
Well, there's the play, and then there's also the work that is play as well. I mean, it sounds like this CEO that you mentioned, he really enjoyed selling. So that was his play and he enjoyed doing that. But one of the things about being hands-off in your business, it's not about, well, I hate this business, so I want to get completely out. I mean, if you hate this business, like, you know, maybe you should sell it. Maybe you should just stop doing it. Maybe you should just look at what is it going to take for you to really fall in love with this so that it doesn't feel like you're working. It feels like you're enjoying yourself every day. Or whatever days that you are working in it, you know, it's just it being hands off is it's not about about getting out of this awful business though. Like, I just want to make that clarification though, because our clients that get to a point where they actually can be hands free, it's really nice for them to be able to leave for weeks or months at a time, but they really enjoy spending time with their team and coaching people. They enjoy seeing the results that their clients are getting. And if you don't have some, it doesn't work very well if you don't have an emotional connection to it. That's one of the things that we've discovered.
Yeah. You know, and I think COVID kind of changed the way a lot of businesses do business, especially with dealing with scale, with dealing with employees, with dealing with trust. Because now everybody's at home with their computers and there's nobody in that office. There's no interaction. There's, I don't know, it just seemed different. You know, and I think a lot of businesses kind of stagnated over the last 18 months because, you know, they didn't have that human interaction like they used to.
Yeah, I think there's some companies that are really stagnating, and then there are other companies that are growing very rapidly, because especially the ones that already have some of these things in place. Like last year, our clients in our Scale to Freedom program, I mean, it was a bit of a hit right around COVID because everybody's trying to figure out like what's the best way to go. But they actually did exceptionally well because they were poised to really take advantage of the market. And most of them have location independent teams. So that was something they didn't have to adjust to. Most of them already know how to generate new business online because that's one of the things that we've taught to. So a lot of the things that you need to have to be resilient, if you have those things in place, you really have an advantage in this market moving forward.
Yeah, you know, for me, it was a little different because as soon as COVID hit, I had hundreds of companies reaching out for marketing help. And I'm thinking, okay, where was your marketing before COVID? Why now? You know, but it was to me, it was always, you know, I always think ahead. You know, I'm like, okay, your marketing should have already been created 12 months ago.
Right.
So, you know, why are you now thinking about it? Because, you know, now you're, you know, 2 months away from bankruptcy. You know, I think you should have worked on the marketing long ago. But, you know, hindsight is 2020, so now we have all these companies now that are coming back into this groove. They know COVID is over, or hopefully it's over, and they're trying to adjust, they're finding that they just can't keep employees. They can't hire them. They're putting out signs that say, you know, $1,000 sign-on bonus, you know, $2,000, whatever it is, nobody wants to work. So do you, yep, you try to rethink the scaling of what you wanted to do, or do you say, okay,
let's talk about that actually, because yes, with scaling, you really do have to have a good staffing plan for how you're going to be able to attract in the right people. And I really do say attract in the right people, because if you're just looking for anybody off, like just any person who could come and fill in the role, yeah, you're going to find a lot of people who aren't willing to work. Mm-hmm. But if you are creating an opportunity, a career path, there's a very small percentage of the job market. A lot of them probably already have a good job, mm-hmm, who could be a great fit for this. So you have to really create opportunities and looking at what kind of skills do they want to develop and how do you want to enrich your team's life, and really look at who would be an ideal person for this role and create it so that it's really a win-win. So I think what's actually been going on is that there's a number of factors, and I don't think it's just COVID. There's a rising generation that is no longer willing to just spend their life to clock in and serve the man and give away their life in exchange for a paycheck. They're not doing that. And, you know, the market is all like, well, these people just don't want to work, and, you know, they're not motivated, and they're flighty and they leave quickly. And there definitely is some of that, but you're not, as with anything, you're not looking for the whole market. You're looking for like the top 10% of the market. Same thing with your clients. When you're selecting your clients, you don't want all of the clients. Most of the potential clients out there are not going to be very profitable clients. You have to be looking at what are the top 10%. So it's always looking at what are the top 10% and how do we market to them? Because this really, nowadays, you really have to market to your best staff to be able to attract them in. We've always been teaching this. Before, it was a nice competitive advantage.
Right.
Now it's mandatory if you want to be able to keep people. And while we have seen a little bit more turnover in our clients, just a little bit more, not anywhere like the rest of the market is seeing. And we also have a staffing company as part of our hands-off CEO. And what we do, we specifically will hire operations managers. So we'll hire like executive assistants or like really solid executive assistants or project managers to move into an operations manager. Sometimes we hire COOs too, just kind of depend on the level of the company where they're at. And we have actually found that instead of like hiring, in the past we've been able to have a lot of applicants and we just kind of screen, and now we have to actually recruit. So we're doing more recruiting. We're really fortunate because a lot of candidates come to us because they're on our email list. They really enjoy the work that we do. So they're already watching what we're doing. But so now we're moving into a place where you have to start proactively recruiting. What it really just does is that it's just forcing best practices. These are things that are really would have always been a good idea to do to be competitive. And now it's just mandatory.
Yeah, you know, and most businesses just want to fill a position, you know, and even if it's temporary, you know, they know that, you know, without any employee, they can't do anything. But the problem is, if you hire the wrong people, you're going to go backwards.
Yes, the wrong person is worse than having no one there at all.
You know, early on in my career, I had a carpet cleaning business. I had a flooring store and a janitorial service. And, you know, I was trying to grow and grow and grow and be all things to all people. And I hired a few wrong people, and that cost me dearly. And had I taken the time to, you know, screen people the right way, I probably, you know, would have had a better business, better outcome. You know, I would have probably enjoyed staying in it. But I'm kind of glad things went the way they did, so I could learn, so I could experience. And now I have this beautiful coaching company that I'm learning, or I'm teaching from the experiences of the past. So,
right. You know,
yeah, we could always do the great things, but will we learn from them?
Yeah, definitely. And I think that when you're looking at growing and then scaling a company, if you want to be successful, you have to do what 80% of the people are not doing. So you just if the masses are doing this one thing, just don't do that. Do something different. So you do the opposite of what they're doing. So and that goes for is when you're looking at what the averages are. If you want average results, then do what average people are doing. And also how average people are thinking too. So if you're thinking like, oh, I can't find any employees, clients won't pay enough, you know, all of these like lack mentality thinking, you're going to be getting more and more of that. So instead, if you just look and say, oh, well, we only work with the top 5% of this industry. And oh yeah, by the way, we do specialize in an industry because we want to be best in the world. If you want to be best in the world at something, you have to actually choose what you're going to be best in the world at. So you have to really specialize down into a niche, specialize down into a specific problem that you're solving. I'm specifically talking about consulting and agency work and, you know, B2B type of services in this particular place. But when you do that, one of the things that we see is not only is it easier to pinpoint this is exactly who we want to work with, but now you can say, well, you know what, if they already have a $5 million company and they already have these things in place and they have this problem that we've solved for 10 other companies, I know that if they do this and this, our system, if we plug it into their company, is going to help them generate another $1 million of sales.
Right.
And when you do that, you can start promising those results, and you can, instead of becoming just another vendor or another service provider that like offers them this deliverables that nobody wants to buy deliverables. They want outcomes. Right. You can actually sell them clear outcomes, and you can charge at minimum double for it. Yeah. We've seen clients have up to 10x their fees going this approach. And what that looks like is having offers that are six-figure offers that you can be able to make three times as much with a third of the clients.
Oh yeah.
But that takes some real fine tuning and around who you actually want to work with. It takes some discipline. But when you do that, this is the right way to scale a consulting company. If you actually want to have the cash flow to be able to hire good people, you know, to be able to create this pathway for the staff to grow into. And this is what majority of the market won't, they're just not willing to do. They're not willing to stand by results.
Oh, yeah. You know, and
they want to just sell their thing. And if it works, it works.
I teach price all the time. I mean, it just, and I find that entrepreneurs are just scared of raising their price. And you know, I look at it as, look, you know what? Why are you charging such a low price? You could double that, triple that, and people are still going to pay it because of the solutions that you're providing. But you know, I read on your website, and this is great testimonial. It says we doubled our agency in 7 months, and to me, you cannot double anything if your prices are still so low. I mean,
well, yeah, and that was a case study from a few years back. Nowadays, in the past year or so, most of our clients are doubling with between 3 and 6 months. Most of them are, because most of them now we're really setting this bar where we wanted them to be making six-figure offers. Mm-hmm. So what that looks like is we only take on clients now who have that ability to create a six-figure offer at some point. And sometimes they're not ready to do that. Maybe they need to start off at 50,000 at first and kind of work their way up. And usually it's actually because they need to work their way up with their mindset and their belief that it actually can be possible to do it. But I was just interviewing one of our clients on my podcast, our Hands Off CEO podcast, and he's gone from selling services around $1,000 to $2,000 per month to now he has a wait list of $420,000 clients. And they can't fulfill services fast enough. And that's precisely what the whole point of it is like, Hands Off CEO is actually a company that we help people scale. It's like, but to be able to scale, you actually have to first grow. And I think people get those two terms mixed up. Scale. You see it all over the internet. And the reason why is there's a reason why. It's because that's people buy that. Yeah. So, but most people don't even know what that actually means. And I know you and I were talking about this a little bit before we pushed record, but you know, like scaling isn't necessarily right for all companies, you know? So you actually have to see some proof first that you can grow in a sustainable way, that you don't hate your life in the process. You have to be able to see some of that proof before you want to go on to scaling. I mean, let's first figure out how to ride a bike with training wheels before we take the training wheels off.
Yeah, it's, you know, and I've been both places. I've scaled because I wanted to, well, because the market told me to, or the guru told me to. And then I went back to being myself, you know, and I thought, okay, how do I grow again? How do I become better than what I was the first time? And I found the second time was easier. It was, I had these processes now. I had these systems. And allowed me to, you know, take more time off to charge more and hire better people. And you know, I don't spend as much time in the business as I used to. And I think you have to do it for the right reasons.
Absolutely.
You know, so let's talk about your business. Let's talk about Hands Off CEO. How did that start? You know, I know that you have success with it because I see the testimonials, I see your videos, but you know.
Yeah, it's I've been reflecting on this path too, because business is about 9 years old now. I had a branding and marketing company before. I had a little small website company before this. And what happened was I was 9 months pregnant, you know, babies coming any day. And here I was up to my neck still in client work that the clients kept pushing off the dates. And I'm like, I'm having a baby here. I've got it. Like, let's get this stuff done. Things were out of my control. I had contractors that were supposed to be supporting me, people that I had worked with for a while, that just would drop off the face of the earth. And I had to go and figure out how to do things I didn't know how to do, like just really deep coding, because I couldn't trust anyone else to do it because people have been just dropping off. So what this looked like for me is days before I was supposed to give birth to my second daughter, my arms were like, physically, I was like, my body was shutting down. And I looked at this as this hell of a business that I had created for myself. And we'd really had, it was the highest growth that I had ever had at the worst possible time. My husband was in this graduate medical program. So, you know, I was playing single mom on top of all this. It was just a total nightmare. And I look back at this, there was just this moment where I'm just like, how the hell did I get into this situation? I got into this business because I had been an operations manager for a property management company. And I had like whipped this business into shape. I could be gone for weeks at a time here and there, wherever I wanted to. And in that industry, that's impossible. And I had done that by focusing on just like the most important things and like getting the cash flow up and, you know, just being able to maximizing the profitability and all those things. But when it came to my own business, I couldn't figure out that part of how to scale myself. And, you know, after I had the baby and I kind of dust settled, that's where I went and I said, you know what, like, I was really interested in solving this problem. Like, what was it going to take? Because I could see this vision of a company that really could build wealth, that could run without me, and I could see it. But like, I didn't know how to get there. So I started testing and understanding I was looking at the problems that other people had. And I knew that if I started helping them solve that problem, I would be able to solve it for myself. So that's just kind of how I solve problems, is like I can break down a system by seeing how it works with someone else. So I started doing that. And then I was helping people for free so that I could learn how to help myself. And as I was doing this, people started paying me. And I'm like, oh, I have a consulting practice here. And I was making a bigger difference than what I was doing with my last company. I was just a lot more passionate about it. So my small agency, I sold it to one of the people on my team, and she's still running it today, actually. And then I branched off and started this new company that would become Hands Off CEO. And it's just, it's come from me understanding, like looking at what problems there are and building systems and processes around it that make it foolproof. And also from a place of guaranteeing results. Mm-hmm. So I've started both of my companies solving problems with guaranteed results. And I've never lost sight of that. And in some ways, I think that's made our growth, at some points it's made our growth slower. It's created a compounding effect where the last couple of years we've had tremendous amount of growth. I mean, really the last 2 or 3 years. And that's built on, I mean, you looked at our website, we have a lot of testimonials. Those are all real people. There's even for every one that you see, there's probably 3 or 4 more that we just haven't had a chance to put up there. But, and the reason why our success rate we have such a high success rate is because we've actually looked at what is the problem that we're going to solve? Who are we going to solve it for? Who are we not going to solve it for? That's the most important piece. Who are you not going to solve it for? And then every time that we found someone that doesn't quite fit the process, we say, okay, we need to eliminate this is off of our ideal client list. And we keep up leveling it as we're continuing to grow. And by doing that, we've been able to continue to raise value, continue to build out our program so that, you know, if someone comes in with this, that they're in between the place of, you know, multiple six figures and up to about 5 million, we can help them scale a multi-million dollar company that can run without them. We can help them double their fees. We can help them get 10 extra hours back in their first week working together. We guarantee a 5x ROI. So there's all these really clear things, but you have to be very specific in order to do that. So that's one thing that we've been very intentional about building all the way through. And because I was very intentional about building the company this way, now what it looks like is that the quality is exceptional and our sales is extremely easy. because it's now it's just a matter of like, it's we're qualifying and helping them expand their vision, helping them see something that they can't see themselves. Like that client that I was mentioning that had the multiple six figure, he had a hard time even envisioning a $30,000 offer, like that he can consistently sell for a year long retainer. So we have to help them expand that vision to help them see what's truly possible. And then it's just a matter of like, do we want to work with this person or not? And when you choose to invest your energy and your time and your resources into becoming best in the world, that's when you're at a place where you can really pick and choose the clients you want to work with. And it's so much more joyful, much more profitable. You have the space to be able to hire people to help you continue to improve quality as you scale. It's a revolutionary way of scaling.
Yeah. You know, and I love the fact that you know exactly who you don't want to do business with. And in fact, you know, one of my friends, Jerry Ojinski, who I've interviewed many times, you know, he rejects 99% of the people who contact him just so that he can get that one perfect client who might end up giving him, you know, $1 million or 2 million, whatever the amount is. He knows exactly what that one client's worth. So, you know, I always encourage everybody, if you can get rid of all the negative clients that you don't want to deal with, you're going to get that one perfect client who makes your business worth, you know, so much more.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what, you have to be, one of the biggest challenges with scaling is capacity. Yeah. And one of the things that most people don't realize about capacity is capacity is the root issue of most capacity issues really is sales. It's sales. Who are you taking on as a client? And are you providing enough value, a big enough promise so that you can charge enough? Most people aren't. And if you're just providing this like generic type of service, you're only going to be able to charge so much because they can get this generic service anywhere in the world. And if you can only charge so much, then you haven't properly funded the ability to generate good results. So your results are going to be really hit or miss. You're not going to be able to get referrals from that. You're not going to be able to leverage good client case studies to be able to generate more sales. That's one of the biggest things that we help our clients do, is we help them be able to look at how do we take these case studies and use this to be able to leverage, to be able to call in and attract your very best types of clients. Mm-hmm. But if you don't have that, you're just another one in a sea of service providers that have, your odds of success are very low.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So what you're selling is a gamble.
Right. And I've had this discussion with a couple of my clients who, you know, they say, well, we're not getting sales. I said, you are getting traffic. I can see it coming through your website. I can see it coming through your paid ads. I said, it's your conversion. I said, you know, we talk about capacity. That's great. But if you don't have people on board that convert those calls, you're not going to get the sales. I said, mm-hmm. Yeah, you can blame the marketing. That's great. I mean, I'll take the responsibility, but ultimately the responsibility is hiring the right people to ask the right questions to convert the sales to make you the money.
I think that's a great example of you taking this more of this consultative approach and you're looking at the whole big picture. And that's what a growth partner does, is you're not saying, I'm just going to deliver you traffic. Good luck with that. You're saying, well, you're taking a whole more of a global look at this and saying, what are the pieces of this? There's the traffic, there's the conversion. And then are the actual salespeople getting these calls? Now, so when you can actually isolate what are the main areas, then you can see which one's broken and then you can go in and fix those things. Okay. But I think that there's so many of these agencies that have this tunnel vision and they're like, that's all I'm responsible for. And I think that it's more indicative of our entire society of where we don't want to take responsibility for anything really. Right. And I think that's just showing up in business.
Yeah. You know, and one of the main reasons I became an entrepreneur is freedom. And I think that freedom is one of those underlying qualities that most entrepreneurs look at. Well, you can't have freedom if you became a slave to your own business. And this is the whole purpose of scaling that business, so that you can have freedom to jump in an RV and go across the United States or or, you know, go to Madrid or Italy or just take a vacation for 9 months without having to worry about whether or not the business will survive without you.
Right. And there are three main freedoms that we like to look at for like creating a business that's truly going to give you freedom, you know, scale to freedom. That's like, we take that seriously. There's mm-hmm. a time freedom, location freedom. You know, you were mentioning how you like to be able to travel around, and monetary freedom. So you have the money, the cash flow to be able to give to charities, to be able to make a bigger impact. And one of the things that you mentioned earlier about the why, and like the bigger why, for why are you scaling? Here's the thing is with scaling your business, you have to have a big why. If you don't, you're not going to be able to do what it takes, because there's significant investments that need to be made for it. Now, when I say investments, because, you know, you give a dollar and you get back 10, but it's like this leap of faith though, where you have to give the dollar first, right? So there's some serious mindset shifts that have to happen for you to do that. And if your why is not big enough, then you're going to keep that dollar. And the same thing goes there. Like there's some initial work that has to be done to be able to set the foundation. If anybody tells you can scale and all you just sit back and drink a margarita on the beach, that's not, they're full of it. Yeah. And they're selling you something. Yeah. And there's a whole lot of products out there that are actually meant that are scale related products that are sold to the masses. And anyway, you just have to be really careful when you're being sold this idea, because if it sounds too good to be true, a lot of times it is.
Yeah. You know, I love the whole the monetary freedom, you know, because when I, 2 years ago, when I turned 50, I looked at my life and I'm thinking, okay, if I retire at 65, you know, and entrepreneurs never retire, but the notion of, you know, cutting back to a point where I'm no longer focused on the business, where's that money? And, you know, and I'm looking at, okay, these are my investments. This is what I have to do. I need to double or triple that. And so that mindset of monetary freedom, I looked at things in my business. I go, how can the business now support the freedom I'm looking at in 15 years? And, you know, I doubled my prices right away because, you know, at 65, if I have no income, you know, just saying, I might not have the business, but I need to have that monetary money set aside to still have that freedom.
Right, right. And particularly, there's a lot of freedom that comes with having money to be able to,
right,
to spend on the things you need. So for example, when cities start getting rougher, they are getting a lot rougher right now. Do you have the funds to be able to pick up and move somewhere else?
Right.
You know, we relocated recently to Southern Utah. We moved out of California.
Nice pictures.
Thanks. I absolutely love it. And, So a huge piece of freedom is being able to, if you're in a situation that you say, this is no longer ideal for our life, to be like, well, let's throw some money at that and solve that problem. Yeah. But if you're in a situation like many people are at, they're kind of stuck where they live and they don't have that ability to move. It's one of the things that's amazing as an entrepreneur is that you can create that financial freedom for yourself. You know, you also mentioned about you hitting 50. Mm-hmm. And that was like a catalyst time for you. And that's one of the things that I actually see as a pattern over and over again. A lot of our clients are around, like they're getting to that point where they're around 50, like where there's a number of people, we have younger people than that too, but
yeah, we're old.
But it's not necessarily that old, but what it is it's just like, wow, I've got to get serious about this. I am 50 years old and this is the most I've created for myself. And I really need to get serious about my retirement. And so there's like this opportunity here for you to really get this business to generate that income that's going to give you the freedom. And, you know, there's some different ways for that. I mean, it could just be from the cash flow of your business. You having this business that can run without you and actually just being this asset that's continuing to generate income without you. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, there's obviously increasing the value of that asset and be able to sell it. There's, there's a lot of things that you can do, but if you're stuck in the business, if the business is really you, you don't have that ability to have that financial freedom. And I think that it takes a lot of people, you know, till hitting about 50 for that, until they realize that.
Yeah. You know, it's a shame because it'd be nice if they taught this concept in high school and drilled it down, but.
Yeah. Well, I think I was lucky because I saw this early on, that I saw the vision of what I wanted, and I was, and having that second baby there for me, it really smacked it on my head. What, a bigger vision. And I got that lesson a lot earlier in life. I'm thankful because it's a very profitable lesson, because once you actually remove yourself from your business, that's what it actually allows it to grow. And it allows it to be able to create bigger and bigger value for other people. And the more value you create, the more money you can create. That's like, that's the relationship for how you build wealth. Right. More value, more money. Really simple equation, but majority of people don't understand that.
So how do people find you? Where do they go?
You can go to handsoffceo.com. And if you want to download the whole roadmap, we have a little 5-step roadmap for how to scale your business the better way. If you're a consulting agency, you can go right on our website and find that. You can also tune into our podcast, Hands Off CEO podcast, on iTunes and really wherever you listen to your podcast, we're there. And that's the best way to find out what more about what we're doing.
That was a great interview. I mean, I hope that all the listeners, you know, appreciate what Mandy's is saying, because honestly, you know, you got to take more responsibility for what you're doing in your business to create value, to bring that freedom back, and so that you can scale effectively, efficiently, and take some time off, get away from that business, and because I try to take at least a week, a month now off, and it's hard, you know. But you know, I come back and I'm like, okay, this is what it's done. I've, and for all the content that we create for our clients, we create 60 to 90 days out. So in case, you know, any of my employees break their leg, can't come to work, or whatever catastrophic conditions happen, you're covered, you know, for the next 60 to 90 days. So, and that's just something that we had to do because we got tired of, you know, and I look at some of these other social media agencies and they're creating content daily. Okay. What happens when your staff doesn't come in? Now you're days behind, weeks behind, you know? So, you know, scale your marketing, scale your agency, scale your thinking, and contact Mandy and she'll help you do it, you know, all the rest. So you guys, will see you on the next episode, and thanks for listening. Adios.